they're always taking human lives in films without any sort of regard for it. And this is a movie where you see that every human being, no matter how good or bad they are, like, everybody is fighting for what they believe is right or what they believe is noble. And it's not so black and white.
That was Blake Lively talking about her latest movie called, what's it called, Bill Bergoli?
The rhythm section.
There you go. I'm Neil Rosen. We're going to talk about the rhythm section. We're going to talk about another movie starring Julia Garner called The Assistant. And this, basically, the show will be revolve around our Oscar predictions, which are, Oscars are coming up in a couple of weeks. So get that office.
And what if what people want to see your Oscar predictions? What can they do?
Good question.
Oh, well, we have a show.
Bill McCuddy
and myself and Lisa Rossman and Rafer Guzman that airs this Friday, the 31st of January on CUNY TV. And all.
But what if I'm listening to this podcast after the 31st?
Well, thank you, Bill McCuddy, who's on that particular television show. It airs all Oscar weekend starting February 7th. On PBS All Arts.
Unbelievable.
All Arts PBS.
Wow.
Multiple airings on CUNY TV.
And if you're listening to this on February 10th, how wrong were we?
We'll be right. If you've got that office listen to this podcast because we're gonna tell you everything.
Big disclaimer.
All right, but before we do, let's talk about the rhythm section with Blake Lively. Now, Blake Lively, not that Gossip Girl was any great thing, but generally speaking, her movies. We did that shark movie that she was.
And the Adeline thing where she never aged with Harrison Ford.
I mean, not really. And now they're releasing a movie in January, which we all know is the dumping grounds for studios. That the end of August and the beginning of January are the movies where. Not necessarily when they make them, but they look at them and they test them for audiences and they go, now this isn't going anywhere, and they just dump them out in January. So how bad is this or how good is this and what's this all about?
It's a January movie. That's what we all said as we left it.
Tell us what it's
about. She plays a woman whose family was killed in an aircraft accident, all of them, and you only see them in silent clips during certain parts of the film. You never hear them. You never know that apparently she really loved them, but you can't tell because when we meet her, she's depressed. She's prostituting herself at some strange flat in London. When someday a man comes to visit and
says, are there a lot of those scenes?
I only want to talk. And she says it's $150 for 30 minutes or something like that.
Hey, it's your time. Spend it however you want.
That's right.
Price is the same.
Oh, you've heard that. So...
A lot.
So he
watch SVU.
He tells her that it wasn't an accident. It was actually a bombing by a guy from the Mideast, and some cleric had ordered it, and blah, blah, blah. And this is where the bomber is. She actually confronts the guy and chickens out. And he arranges.
Oh, that's like the Diana Kruger movie.
Probably, yeah.
He
realizes.
It sounds like 12 other movies.
Somebody knows.
Well, mostly
he is.
Sounds like Red Sparrow to me. It sounds like they were trying to make a franchise. So that's for me the headline here.
Right.
So Barbara Broccoli, who does all the James Bond movies, has been fielding questions about whether James Bond could ever be a woman, and she finally got tired of it and said, "No, never going to happen." Even though in the next movie. I ain't gonna die yet, or whatever it's called. there is a woman who is 007. I think she's a woman of color who gets that moniker 007, and then probably he gets it back at some point, if I had to guess. But anyway, they thought this might be a franchise, is what I am told.
You would think Jude Law is in it. I mean, he's sort of the guy who trains her,
right.
Basically by making her swim in very cold lakes in Scotland. And beats her up, and she injured
when
her
she
hand during
out.
One of the fight scenes. She they had to halt filming for 7 weeks because of that.
This sounds a little like that Angelina Jolie movie where the guy...
Salt.
Yeah, it sounds... And a little bit of The
Red
Professional,
Sparrow.
Although, you know...
Yeah, but it just her character is...
But Red Sparrow is the Jennifer Lawrence thing, is what it really reminds me of, and that was hideous, and this is hideous? Or
yeah,
is
this is more... This is a depressed Red Sparrow. I mean, her character is... depressed. You don't even recognize it as Blake Lively. I think she wears about 7 different wigs during the film. And she's depressed at the end of the movie after all the bad guys are dead.
This is too bad because the trailer looked cool to me. She's you're right. She changes her look a lot.
Make
like a Mission Impossible kind of a thing. And
just going to make any money?
Probably not a whole lot. Super
Bowl
weekend.
Name a Blake Lively movie that's made a lot of money. I mean, she was in that Adeline thing with Harrison Ford where she never aged. She was in...
she's in one really good movie, but she's not the lead in the movie. It's like, is it a Scorsese film or something where she's... she's actually like in a real quality movie.
Well, wasn't she in The Town? Wasn't she in Ben Affleck's thing? Wasn't she one of the girlfriends in that?
Yeah, you might have been.
I don't know.
Yeah, anyway, it's time for her to have a hit because she's gorgeous and I think she can act, but man, she's made some bad choices.
Yeah, this is not the right vehicle for her, really.
So, all right, well, I'm going to pass.
All right.
I'm actually going to, I'm curious enough about
one
her
good chase scene
and there's a good chase scene.
So you don't recommend it, Bergoglio.
No,
on a scale of 1 to 10, you'd give it a
5 or 4.
Not too
pretty
good.
Pretty middling.
All right, so... do we see this when was it even worth watching when it comes to start streaming somewhere like shortly after it?
Yeah, if you can stream it for free. Well,
I don't know. Once you have Netflix or one of those things.
Is it as bad as London? What's the one with Amber Heard that came out this time last year that had been on the? It was sexy too.
Right. Billy Bob Thornton was in it.
Yeah,
I remember that.
Yeah. That was about revenge. Yeah.
All right. Well, the other movie that we'll talk about before we get to our Oscar predictions that Bill Bergoglio saw is called The Assistant, starring Julia Garner, who audiences may remember from the new season of Ozark, which I love that series. The third season's coming out. She's in the first two seasons. She's also in a couple of seasons of The Americans, and she's also in my favorite episode of this limited series. I believe it's on Amazon. Could be Netflix. I think it's Amazon, though, called Modern Love. She's terrific. I'm a big fan. So she stars in this movie.
She kind of owns Ozark in a way. I mean, she was the breakout. As much as I love Jason Bateman.
Laura Linney.
Yeah. I mean, she was the one everybody went in the first season. Like, she's going to be a big star. Yeah,
she will be a big star.
She's in practically every frame of this film. And she hasn't got a whole lot of dialogue
in her face. And it's a Me Too movie.
It's a Me Too without being Me Too in your face. You don't see any of the actual abuse. Well, you hear some of it. You hear a lot of verbal abuse. You see her just being, at one point, she gets a guy the wrong sandwich and he throws something at her. But
so here's the headline here.
Tell us what the movie's about.
Well, she's an assistant for a high, powerful movie exec type guy. And it's a day in her life. She goes to the office. She makes the coffee, she cleans his office, lines up the coffee cups a certain way that he likes his coffee cups lined
mogul.
Up. The movie mogul.
Yeah.
While she's in his office, she gets to clean the couch. After she cleans the couch, she walks and looks at the carpet, and there is somebody's earring. And
maybe the mogul wears an earring.
I doubt it. But things happen, and she's also asked to escort another assistant. Who's very pretty, who the executive met at some film festival somewhere, to the Mark Hotel. And the assistant says to her in the car, did you get to stay in the Mark Hotel? She goes, no. And she eventually gets up the courage to go to HR and says she thinks something's going on here. And Matthew McFadden's the HR guy. He does a great job of pretty much cutting her to shreds by the end of the scene.
Really?
It's, yeah.
Which makes the case of, like, nobody... Right,
nobody gets out of here
everybody,
alive.
Right, everybody's in on this, and they're all supporting the mogul. It sounds like Harvey Weinstein.
Right,
right?
And the idea was, the filmmaker told me, you don't want to see these guys because these guys got enough publicity as it is. And also, I think people,
really Harvey's in the news right now.
I heard something about it. Yeah,
but I understand that it takes place in Tribeca,
which is
where
Miramax.
I'm getting there, but it's so much more fun when you jump in.
Cobblestone Street,
isn't it?
It basically looks like the Miramax offices, and that is there a screening room scene that's also in
no, but Greenwich? They refer to when the guys, the mogul's wife calls when he's somewhere they can't tell her, and they tell the assistant to tell her he's. Tell her he's in a meeting. No, tell her he's in the screening room. We can't interrupt him.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
And there's some, I don't know, what you were before we went on the air, before we started recording this, you were mentioning something about Fruit Loops or something like that?
The director, very nice woman named Kitty Green, talked to me the other day, and she told me people have been saying to her, you got the Fruit Loops right. We had Fruit Loops at Miramax. How did you know that? And she didn't really. She picked Fruit Loops because they're very colorful and they look they photograph better than Raisin Bran, which was her original choice.
Wheat checks.
But people have told her she got a lot of details right. She actually wrote the thing by listening to all these people and having them tell her stories, and she kind of combined them all into this
movie. Not necessarily stories about Harvey Weinstein, just stories about being abused?
Yeah, she says actually the high-tech business is a lot like this.
Okay.
And anybody who's got a daughter of working age should probably see this before they let her go to work.
Hey, that's me and Neil.
That's right. You should check this out.
Well, we've done many a junket at the Mark Hotel, so it sounds like she's done her research, you know?
Yeah.
And that was a favorite haunt of...
Harvey.
Yeah, so...
I definitely check this out. I warn you, it's very slow.
Is she harassed Julia Garner?
No. Well, yeah, in a way.
No.
Not.
I mean, she goes to HR.
Is she sexually harassed by anybody?
She's not overtly sexually harassed.
That we see.
But she's put down because she's a young woman. And she's told at one point, don't worry about this exec. You're not his type anyway.
Nice. So yeah. She's got that going for her.
So, yeah, and you'll see at one point she's in the kitchen and some other people have been there longer than her and have higher positions. Just kind of push off their used coffee cups and stuff for her to wash and don't even look at her. I mean, wow.
So you recommend it?
Yeah, I definitely do.
I want to see it.
That seems like an electrifying scene.
You sold me. I want to see it. I like.
Well,
it.
I'm interested too because I'm actually told that you hear like Charlie of Charlie's Angels. You hear his voice, one of our colleagues says it sounds exactly like Harvey. So there you go.
So it is Harvey Weinstein, but the director doesn't want to cop to it since you spoke to her. Because
I don't think so.
You don't think it? You think it's a composite?
It probably is a composite.
Of Harvey and his brother?
See it. Possibly.
Harvey.
There are other execs that are slime balls, too. So.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay, well, I want to see it. I think it's an important subject matter. And you know,
turn down your internal clock when you go, because it moves very slowly.
Yeah, okay. But it's not a long movie.
No, it's under an hour and a half, actually. I think it's like 89 minutes.
Yeah. Wow. And they say, I read somewhere, I don't know if you saw it.
This could
be dangerous. No, that it's the first really great Me Too Time's Up movie that examines this subject matter. I don't know of many other movies that do examine this subject matter.
Yeah, I know.
Matter, but I read that, you know
one,
what I mean? Yeah. But you think that it...
I think it's worth checking out.
That it explores that topic, which is an important topic.
Yeah, it also explores being young and vulnerable in the workplace.
Before we move on to the predictions...
Oh, boy.
No. Did anybody catch Curb Your Enthusiasm, which started its new season because... Larry David did a very amusing thing on the Me Too movement where he was on a date with somebody, and before he did, I am now going to take my arm and put it over your left shoulder.
He shot it on his phone.
Yes, and he's recording the whole thing on his phone, right. Which I just thought was, you know, I mean.
I thought that woman hated him, by the way, and then all of a sudden she goes out with him.
Yeah, but
that
they had a bonding moment over.
The view of out the window or something. Hey, look, it's very, very, very funny. First episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm. This is now the second episode we're talking about.
With the Make America.
Let's not give everything away, but I would say the second is not quite as good.
I think both episodes, I would rate them the same. I think there's a couple of good ideas and moments in the first episode that are really, really clever, and the same thing in the second episode.
There's a lovely oil painting of Susie Essman,
my
good friend Susie Essman.
Susie Essman, that's funny.
Who I just want to tell people listening is absolutely nothing like Susie on the show.
I think people know that.
Well,
Larry... You're a piece of shit. Yes. Susie.
So speaking of pieces of shit, let's now go to the
Oscar nominations.
Oscar predictions.
All right. Get out your pens and your office pools because here come the winners. All right. Let's start out with the supporting actor categories. Okay. And, you know, before we even get into this, I'm going to say that it's very predictable. I mean, I think even more so than in other years. There were a couple of tight...
I just flashed a Neil on the moon. Before I go down...
Yeah, one last thing.
Before I take that small step for man and one giant leap, I have to say that... all right, so best supporting actor. Does anybody here think it's not going to be Brad Pitt? I mean...
Some people are saying possibly Joe Pesci because he plays against type in The Irishman.
And he's old.
But he and Al Pacino kind of cancel each other out. Anthony Hopkins is in there for the two popes, but he's been to the Oscars enough. And Tom Hanks, I'm the only person probably listening to this podcast that loved A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood.
Yeah. Oh, do you have my movie? I lent it to you. Do you have it?
Oh, yeah.
Gee, well... I'll be lending
the
you
postman
some
promised
films
he'd
again.
Bring it back, but he I got the milkman.
Great, okay.
Brad Pitt 100%.
Brad Pitt. And who would you want to win in this category?
I want Brad Pitt to win. He's
Me
never
too.
Won. He won for producing 12 Years a Slave, but he's never had an acting. And, you know, he should have at least been. Was he nominated for Billy?
He was nominated
in Moneyball
for 12 Monkeys, I believe.
Yeah.
And he was nominated for.
I think he was nominated for Moneyball, but he should have won that year. Anyway, yeah, he's going to win this year, Best Supporting Actor. Best Supporting Actress, who do you like there, boys?
By the way, Brigoli, you agree on...
Yeah, I think it's going to probably be Brad Pitt.
And if
yeah.
you had to pick somebody, who would you pick in that category? I mean, is that who you want to win?
It's hard to tell, man. To be honest, it really is. They're all very good, so I'm not going to...
I forget whether you're an Irishman fan.
I'm not.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
And so. I think they... Did you love the two popes?
I did like the two popes.
But I think
but
Anthony
I thought
Hopkins...
Jonathan Pryce was
yeah,
better.
Absolutely.
He had more to do.
Yeah. I've seen Anthony Hopkins do that kind of guy before.
Yeah.
Not as a pope, but just...
Yeah. No, the only other person I would think of would be Tom Hanks.
All right. I wouldn't.
Well, I
so
got
kind of with you on that guy.
Just so we know, Brad Pitt was nominated... for Moneyball.
Yes,
and
I believe we said that.
Also nominated for The Curious Case.
Oh, yeah, Benjamin Button.
And he
a
was
backward nomination
and he
if there ever was
nominated
one.
For 12 months.
All right, supporting actress. Let's okay. try and keep this train
right.
on track.
All yeah, right, supporting actress. You take this one, one of the Bills. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, again, there's no surprise here. This is absolutely, positively has to be Laura Dern. And of all the things, I mean, we've been talking about this. It ain't Kathy Bates for Richard Jewell. I would love it if it was Scarlett Johansson for Jojo Rabbit. Not going to happen.
No, you love that. I love
Robbie,
the movie too, but
Margot Robbie. This category. Let me before you nab because so far we're pretty much in lockstep. Sorry, Jojo Rabbit with what the people at Gold Derby think, and they're pretty sure that Pitt's going to win that, and they're pretty sure that. Laura Dern is a lock here for Marriage Story. However, this is the one category we're going to talk about where historically some surprise could happen.
It's the yeah, wild
it's,
card.
It could, also, it could be Florence Pugh.
And it's also usually the ingenue.
Yeah,
there's
that's,
so
that's
many
what
incidences
I
where the
there's
older
Marissa
actress
Tomei
was supposed to win.
Right. Beat out
and Florence
some,
was great. In
Lawrence Bacall was a lock. Everyone said it's going to happen. And Juliette
Lauren
Binoche
Bacall,
won
not
for... Pardon?
You said Lawrence Bacall. I don't
Lauren
know who
Bacall.
He is.
No, I said Lauren Bacall.
You said Lauren. Okay. I think you said Lauren.
We'll fix it in post. not the tape, your ears. So Florence Pugh could possibly upset here,
yeah.
but otherwise.
Here's why Laura Dern's going to win. Because, A, she's been nominated a ton of times. She's been around forever. She's never won.
She's Hollywood royalty.
She's Hollywood royalty. Her father's Bruce Dern. Her mother's Diane Ladd. She's been in three strong things this year. That Little Women season two. Big Little Lies. I'm sorry. HBO series. She was in...
Little Women.
She's in Little Women.
She's the
and,
mom.
Right. And she's going to win for... Which is actually her best performance, although very similar to the performance in Big Little Lies. As the cutthroat lawyer
well, I agree
story.
With all of that thinking. However, I will say that the Oscars don't always rubber stamp everything that's happened before them because they like to make something a little different, and
that's
this is the category where
right.
that could happen.
Okay, well, for the record, I think Laura Dern will win. I like Laura Dern. That's my pick out of that category. But, and as we said, if there is an upset, I agree with you, Bill Bergoli. Yeah. I think Florence Pugh, the ingenue, as Bill McCuddy said, but yeah, that's the one that would upset it. But I think she's – I think that's actually the lock of the evening. I think Laura Dern is the lock of the evening. Bergoli, who do you want? Who do you like in that category? Just
As I said, Florence Pugh.
You want Florence Pugh, but do you think
yeah,
Laura Dern –
Yeah, I want her to win. Yeah, I you know what? Laura Dern's didn't excite me that much in Marriage Story.
And you want Laura Dern. You like Laura Dern.
Yeah.
McCuddy. Okay, moving on. Okay, pick us. Pick. But we could do the actor categories, or we could do some minor stuff.
Let's do lead actress.
Yeah, let's stay with the big ones because people, if we digress into crazy technical stuff,
may just quickly
do the big ones, and then we can come back and do some little snubs. And
okay,
surprises.
Bill Bergoli, do best actor. Go.
Best actor, we've got Antonio Banderas in *Pain and Glory*, Leonardo DiCaprio, Adam Driver, Joaquin Phoenix, and. Jonathan Pryce. I've got a feeling it's going to be Joaquin Phoenix. I'm tired of looking at Adam Driver, so I would almost rather see Joaquin Phoenix in his biodegradable tuxedo go up and get it, or his vegan tuxedo. But who knows? Maybe they'll surprise everybody and give it to Antonio Banderas because they like him.
I like him, and out of all the performances on, I also agree with you. I think Joaquin Phoenix will win, but I think it's one of the weakest performances. I was not overly impressed with that showy performance. I don't think it's a bad performance. I don't think it's an Oscar-worthy performance. I mean, I think that Adam Driver gave the best performance of the list that you just read. That escalating fight scene between him and Scarlett Johansson when he starts going, you know, I wish you were dead, and then he breaks down and starts crying. I mean, that's just, it's an amazing emotional scene. You know, Adam Driver was the odds-on favorite. So was Marriage Story, actually, a number of months ago. And I don't know. We'll have that discussion. Well, actually, we won't have that discussion. You could listen to our television show to see about Netflix bias.
We can tease and say, because it's been talked about everywhere, that there may be a Netflix bias and that this movie was the one that would suffer, despite what we just said about Laura Dern and supporting.
But don't you think that Antonio Banderas, who's kind of playing the alter ego, semi-autobiographical look at Pedro Almodovar's life, he was a director who was suffering all kinds of physical ailments. I mean, that not only was an amazing performance, I think it was the best performance I've ever seen that Antonio Banderas gave.
Well, that could be a legitimate upset, but I
will make the exact same. Did Marcello Mastroianni win?
And there are more foreign voters this year, up about 1,700, and most of them are foreign. But I'll tell you that the same argument you made about never having won before, I'll give you a guy who's never even been nominated until this year, has a great, great career. And this movie is much, much, much loved by the Academy members I've talked to. And that's Jonathan Pryce for The Two Popes.
Well, that's your Netflix bias again.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know. We're going to find out whether there really is a bias. There was last year with Roma. It was supposed to win more than it did, although it got Best Foreign.
Do you think Joaquin Phoenix will win for Joker?
I do. I know there's a little pushback on it because that movie was so divisive and really kind of the movie was not as loved as the performance. If that movie was more loved, you would have more people watching the Academy Awards this year than ever, because the last time most people watched was when in 1997, when Titanic was nominated. And so the public went to the Joker.
That made a shitload of money.
So if people thought the Joker was going to be the best picture, a lot more people would tune in, but they know better. It's not going to happen. We'll get a best picture, obviously, in a minute. But it's very, very, very likely that Joaquin Phoenix. However, this is one category that I think is kind of wide open.
It's more competitive.
I think Joaquin's got it locked up. And again, I'd like to see
we
Adam
do a
Driver.
Gold Derby, too. That's what most of the...
I'd be happy if Jonathan Pryce won. I thought he stole the film. He outshined. I don't know, whatever the grammar
is. So for the record,
you would take
the Joker, and I could have the field if we wanted to bet in that category.
Bill Bacuddy and I do a bet every year, and now we do straight up cash, and Bill Bregoli holds the money. So at least I get paid when I win almost every year. Although Bill Bacuddy did win last year, but there's a couple of dinners that he still owes me that I won some bets on. But that's a discussion for another day.
I'd like a dinner with Neil.
But we will make an Oscar bet, and we'll actually on next.
And
week's
you like
show,
that one? You like Joaquin for you, and I get the feel.
I think we're gonna do that. We're gonna do that, and we'll talk about that. But
let's talk about lead actress, because maybe
okay,
we've got
So we all think Joaquin, though, technically, and I want Adam Driver. You want Jonathan Pryce? Is that correct?
No, I
were voting.
It would be nice.
And you would pick Bregoli?
If I were picking, I'd actually pick Jonathan Pryce, too, if I were voting.
Okay. Best thing he's ever done.
Yeah, okay. He's really good.
I'd probably pick, I'd go Adam Driver 1, and then, is it a weighted system? I know Best Picture is system, which I'll explain later.
Just
Picture. All right, we'll get to that later. All right, Best Actress. All right, well, Cynthia Erivo for Harriet, Scarlett Johansson, who's nominated twice. Not only is she nominated for Jojo Rabbit for Supporting Actress, she's nominated for Lead Actress in Marriage Story, Saoirse Ronan in Little Women, Charlize Theron for Bombshell, and Renee Zellweger for Judy. Okay. So what I want to win in this category and who I think will win are the same person. And I also think this is kind of a lock, unless there's a fatigue factor that falls in. It's Renee Zellweger for Judy, playing the drugged-up, alcoholic, career-falling-apart Judy Garland in the last year of her life, who has to play go to London, which is the only place that'll book her. They won't even book her in clubs in America anymore. And I think, you know, I think she's going to win. You know, just look, the Academy loves performances of people that play singers. Look no further. I mean, Joaquin didn't win, but he got nominated for Walk the Line a number of years ago. Last year, look no further than last year.
Well, I don't think singers is necessary. I think it's real people. I mean, when they play real people.
Yeah, real historical people that are famous singers. Last year, Rami Malek played Freddie Mercury, the lead singer of Queen. Right. And he won, and he lip-synced. And she's doing her own singing here.
No.
So, I don't know.
Well, she's lip-syncing to herself, except in
one
performance.
No, they all lip-sync to herself. That's movie-making 101 from, like, the 20s. Ooh, okay. They record on track.
And I'll give her her due. She has, when she sings Somewhere Over the Rainbow at the end, she's singing it live in front of that audience, and that would, they made a big deal about that, because that'll help
her. Yeah, but clang, 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 went the trolley and all that. That's not Judy Garland's voice. That's Renee Zellweger's voice.
Right.
And, you know, I think she does a really
Rex
good job.
Rex Reed says, doesn't sound anything like Judy.
Yeah. Yeah, and Rex Reed would know.
Yeah, Rex Reed would know. I partied with Judy Garland when she was. Yeah, anyway. So bad Rex Reed.
Okay, so that's your.
Yeah, that's
what
I want. That's
what
I think. What do you think?
I'm pretty sure she's going to win. Also, although she gave kind of a funky Golden Globe speech where it made it sound like she was deserving and long overdue. And I hope she's cleaned that speech up. I happen to think the best performance of the year. Because it
trans- of the year in this category or
of
period?
Of the year in this category.
Okay.
No,
ever.
Right, of all categories. Let's jump around now.
All right, good.
Take me into your mind. I just want to see how it works. So is Charlize Theron for a Bombshell? You know, I worked with Megyn Kelly.
Yeah.
This woman sounds like Megyn Kelly, went through the same kind of prosthesis, a mild prosthesis, but a small amount of augmentation in her chin and cheekbones for from the same guy that did Winston Churchill, from Gary Oldman.
Yeah.
And she looks and sounds just like Megyn Kelly. I guess if she sang, according to Neil, she'd have a shot.
I'm telling you what's
going to
win. And you agree with me that it's that
I
she's...
do, but I this is where I think the fatigue thing could happen, not in the other category.
Well, that's what I said. They've been saying Renee Zellweger for the last, like, first of all, that movie came out early. I think we saw that in, like, September
or something.
And the movie
sucks. It's not a great biopic at all.
It doesn't suck, but it's not a great movie. It doesn't suck. I mean, it's okay.
She's the only established actor in the whole movie.
True.
And it's just a very by-the-numbers kind of a thing. But
all right, so you'd like Charlize.
I'd like Charlize.
But you think that Renee is going to win.
Right.
I want Renee, and I think she'll win.
So you'd obviously take Renee, and I would get the field if the bet were...
Mm, okay.
Yeah, we'll work this out after the podcast.
I think it's going to be Renee, too, but...
If you were voting, you would vote for...
I would probably vote for Charlize.
You'd vote for Charlize?
Yeah, I'm with Bill.
But isn't that a lot?
I didn't even recognize her.
I say give the Oscar to the makeup artist, who put, like, the Churchill makeup artist who made her look like
that. I think they did that year, but I think also Gary Oldman won.
Yeah.
All right, well... I think that if there's an upset in this category, it will not be Charlize. I think that if there was an upset at all, one of two things could happen. It would either be Scarlett, because she's nominated twice. So that, but again, there's that Netflix bias, so I don't think that happens. Or, you know, there's this Oscar So White that's come around again this year, and Oscar So Male, you know, and you know, I think, does Cynthia Erivo have a shot? Because they're getting
a lot
of flack, you know what I mean, for... They're
well,
all
she's
white
also
nominees.
She's also twice nominated tonight or that night.
Yeah.
Who's twice nominated?
Cynthia Erivo.
What, was she a producer on the?
No, she co-wrote the song from Stand Up or Stand By Me or whatever that stand.
I did not know.
Yeah,
I did
not fun
know.
Fact.
Okay, well there you go.
All right
let's
next?
Move on to direct.
Wait, before we move on, no, I just wanted to say that. All right, go ahead.
Let me regale you of a story that happened.
Director, we doing, or you want to do?
Let's do director.
All right.
Okay. Well, we could do picture. You can't really talk about director without really talking about picture, because you could say.
Well, although this is, I think we'll all agree, is probably a split year. You know, that didn't used to be a thing, and now it's turned into a thing. Last couple of years, it's been.
I don't agree. I don't think it's a split year.
All right. Okay. Well, then.
All right, let's do picture.
All right.
The best pictures are. William Bregoli, read the best pictures, please.
Drum roll.
Ford versus Ferrari, The Irishman, Jojo Rabbit, Joker, Little Women, Marriage Story, 1917, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, and Parasite.
Okay, so can I tell you what Gold Derby says the two front runners are? Because I don't necessarily agree with this.
What do they say?
They say right now it's neck and neck between 1917 and Parasite.
Yeah, that's what I'm hearing too.
Okay, here's why Parasite will not win Best Picture, because it's going to win. First of all, in a triumph of, as our friend Robert Wall said, what kind of PC bullshit is this? It used to be called Best Foreign Language Film forever, and now it's being called Best International Film. Why? Did anybody really have an objection to it being called Best Foreign Language Film? And as Bill McCuddy said on the TV show, which is on CUNY TV this weekend and All Arts next weekend, he had a very funny line, and he said, they should just call it Best Subtitled Film. I go, yeah, that really kind of would solve the problem. But nonetheless...
I forgot I said that. It is funny.
The thing is, it's not going to win Best Picture, because it's going to win in Best International Film, and it's not that amazing of a film, in Academy voters' mind, that it's going to win both Best. The way they honor it is they're going to give it Best International Film. It's not going to win Best Picture. I disagree with Gold Derby. And if that happened, if it won Best Picture, and how do you win Best Picture, by the way? Let's say it won Best Picture, Parasite, okay? Mm-hmm. And it doesn't win Best Foreign Language Film. You know, how could that be possible? You know?
No, I think I think there's going to be a change in the rules in the next couple of years.
Because would that make any sense at all?
No, I think it would have to win in both categories. I mean, it wouldn't have to, but the people...
Do we all agree that it's
everybody would have to be, all 8,000 members would have to be sitting in a room and sort of decide the way film critics all sit and talk things out, right, that they're going to do that. And they're not doing that. They're not going to sit there and decide that,
well, do
it
we
shouldn't
all agree
get
that
this, it should get that.
Out of the international films, Corpus Christi, Honeyland, Les Miserables, Pain and Glory, and Parasite, do we all agree that Parasite is going to win?
Yes, although Corpus Christi is a very good movie, and so is Honeyland.
Yeah.
It's definitely going to win there, just like Roma won last year. This is a rubber stamp of last year, I think. And when we get to director, I'm going to make the same case,
okay,
although
so
you and
picture,
I don't agree on that.
Best Picture, what do you think is going to win, Bill Bregoli?
Not Ford versus Ferrari, though I had a good time.
Okay. And the Irishman, everyone says that's everyone's number eight when they vote.
Yeah, okay, probably, but it was fun. The Irishman, I don't think so. I honestly think the Academy probably got bored.
So
and Jojo Rabbit was too...
So what do you think is going to win? You want me to come back to you?
I think it could be 1917 or possibly Marriage Story. But then, yes, you have the Netflix factor.
So you know what's supposed to win every year, if this was historically correct? The movie that gets the most nominations. And guess what?
Joker.
To everyone's surprise, Joker was the most nominated film with 11.
Yeah.
There were, I think, four others that had double digits, which means 10, Neil, just so you're not. By the way, did you know this is the first time in Oscar history that four films have gotten that many nominations?
No, I didn't know that.
So, apropos of nothing, it should be The Joker. It'll never be The Joker. I don't think it should be 1917. Jojo Rabbit was my number one movie of the year, but that ain't happening.
What do you think?
So it's either 1917, or I would be thrilled if out of nowhere it was Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
All right, so
and let me show you an ad for Once Upon
exactly
a Time in Hollywood.
Show all our podcast listeners.
No, I'm showing it to you because this is a very, very shrewd thing that they've done for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. They're taking out all of these for your consideration, and this one has Margot Robbie in it.
It's Robbie. Yeah. You keep saying Robbie. Robbie.
I pronounce it the way she does. Anyway, Because You Love Movies is the headline.
They're doing that
with all of their for your consideration advertising.
Well, as
they
said,
also very shrewdly, let me finish the point, have put out a making of behind the scenes thing.
Yeah, I've seen that.
That completely bows
to
love
letter
Quentin
Tarantino. To Hollywood.
Yeah.
As I've said, and as you pointed out on the television show, which will air this Friday on CUNY TV and next week on PBS All Arts, is that I've said time and time again that more often than not, when there's a movie that's about Hollywood that is nominated for something, the Academy generally votes
for that
movie.
The Player didn't win Best Picture.
What's that?
The Player didn't win Best Picture.
Well, Argo did, and
the New York
the
Times
artist
actually
did.
Crunched the numbers and said that there is no bias towards pictures about Hollywood.
Well, oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, here is why 1917...
So once again, Neil Rosen stands alone.
Here is why 1917 will win Best Picture, because it is a weighted system, and I will explain to you how that works. Okay, first of all, The Irishman is a polarizing film. Half the Oscar voters love the film, But, you know, it wasn't the it was a critic's darling, and then it came on Netflix, and a lot of people started saying what Bill McCuddy was saying, which is like, gee, this is too long. It's 3 hours and 29 minutes. You know, like, I'm not in love with this. So
go tell him I said this. I'll tell him you said that, but you tell him I said this. All right, I'll tell you and said that. Right. And then
so you have half the voters making it their number one pick, and then you have half the voters who don't like it, and they put it last. Then you have Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, another kind of, like, divisive film. Some people love Quentin Tarantino. I certainly do. They make that their number one pick, and the other half go, I don't like Quentin Tarantino. I don't like all that violence at the end of the movie, blah, blah, blah. So they make it their last pick.
I disagree with that. I don't think it's hated enough to be anybody's number eight.
But all these people take the safe route and put 1917 as their second pick or their third pick. And that gets more points, and consequently that wins. And that's what happened with Green Book last year. Half the voters voted for Roma, and half of them put it last. Green Book got the most votes because it was.
But that doesn't make sense then. I listened to your whole theory, and if half of them did make it the number eight, it never would have won. So
it didn't win. I'm saying
Green Book did win.
No, I said that half the people made Roma their number one,
right,
and half the people made Roma their number eight. But most people put Green Book as like number two.
No, that's I'm sorry. I think you just said.
Now, who's not listening?
No, you said you did. Rewind.
No, Bill Bergoglio agrees with me.
What?
You said Green Book. They made Green Book number eight. But it's okay. But okay.
You understand my point.
You're right.
My
point should explain. We should explain one other thing. Like in the first balloting, the first time they look at it, if any one of these movies gets more than 50%, there isn't a weighted system. It wins. So that's why there's a weighted system. It doesn't get. So let's say it's a three-way contest this year.
Yeah.
They have to then go into the weighted system. And in the first one that gets over 50%, obviously.
Okay. Now, what if two movies get over? Seriously, what if two movies get over 50%?
That's impossible, Neil. Don't you realize?
What if two movies get... No, let's say two movies get 50, over 50. Right, I would say if two movies get 50%, you know, right?
That's then no, it's done. Then what happens? It's a tie. But there's no such thing
right,
as a tie.
Yeah, right. So that... Yeah, that's no okay. All right, so
but
we've
good,
examined this.
Good
well, anyway, I think 1917 is going to win.
Well, let me tell you why it really is going to win. Because it came late, it was a big surprise, and we have this year, we should point out...
What is coming late factor into a win?
It's because there's no fatigue on it.
Their brain,
It wasn't the front runner, so it doesn't lose.
No time for a big, smear
nice
campaign?
There is a small smear campaign going on around it. But
What is that?
People of color. There were tons of people of color in World War I, and there's none of them in this.
Okay.
And the actual... the actual use of a runner to go from where they have the information to the front was like Olympic grade runners. They had people that did what these two guys do in the movie,
yeah.
But they didn't trust Schlubby and his brother.
There was no walkie talkies or anything. They needed runners. I mean, it wasn't
right.
Right.
Although it's been pointed out that unless they're behind the lines, that somebody in a plane could have dropped the message and they didn't need these two guys to do it.
Okay,
anyway,
but that's
it's a movie. It's a movie.
Sam Mendes who directed it. This was a story.
But
that
we have historically
by his grandfather.
Right.
And, you know, I'm sure this license. I mean,
and as
I
said on the show, the reason this is going to win is because most of the Academy voters served in World War I. So there's
well,
that
well,
factor.
Movies take license. I mean,
and we're having the earliest Oscars ever. That's my point about the coming late that you won't let me finish. Like, it's normally a month later than February 9th. So to campaign, the campaign season is much shorter. And this movie, 1917, came out of nowhere. Most people had to see it on a big screen. So that's
well. They
probably...
did send us the screener.
Yeah,
I saw. I have a very big television, but I saw it on a screener.
No one likes
Bill
Bergoglio.
I got the screener, and I went and saw it in the theater.
And
instead.
You recommended to me that I see it in the theater.
Said, see it,
and where did you see it? You see it in a theater? Bill?
I saw it on a screener. Although I had an interview with Sam Mendes at a screening. I just didn't stick around.
Okay. Well,
this may be the first year that five of the Best Picture nominees have made over $100 million.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
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 Which would be...
Ford versus Ferrari.
Okay.
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
That's two.
Biggest Quentin Tarantino movie ever.
Joker.
Oh, yeah, Joker.
Yeah.
Parasite? Little Women?
I think The Irishman did.
Little Women, no way. Little Women's made like 30.
How did The Irishman? It was on Netflix. I mean, it was played in theaters for like a couple of weeks.
I don't know.
So, you sure?
Well,
about
you
that?
Know, Netflix but, likes to say based on the number of downloads, it would have made this equivalent at the at the box office.
Well, whatever. This
right. Well, here's the thing. If I had to pick, what I want to win is Marriage Story. It was my favorite film of the year. I thought it was so authentic. Noah Baumbach wrote and directed it.
100% not going to happen.
Of course, but I thought that the performances, the direction, the writing were so spot on. Not a happy film, but a great film. That's
Noah
my favorite
Baumbach
film of the
not
year.
Nominated for director.
but nominated for screenplay, which we'll get to in a moment. But
we will.
Yeah, we'll do it quick. But so anyway, so I'm I say 1917 will win. If I were voting, I would vote for Marriage Story. Bill Brigoli, you say?
I'd say 1917.
Okay, and you would vote for
1917.
Okay, and well, you're a war.
I'm afraid it is going to be 1917. I would vote for Jojo Rabbit, but I would be completely satisfied with Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. So, for the purposes of our bet, you'll take 1917 and give me the feel.
That I have to think about. But I like your earlier bet with Joaquin Phoenix. But we will discuss that off air and tell everybody the bet next week.
All right. So director.
Director. Okay. So director. Why don't you read?
Well,
the
you
director
teased. You know
read
who it
the,
is. Martin Scorsese for The Irishman. Todd Phillips for The Joker.
What
which
page?
Is pretty amazing.
We're all looking at
Sam Mendes for 1917. Second Quentin page. Tarantino. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, and Bong Joon-ho for Parasite. So. You teased with the fact that you don't think it's going to be a split year.
Correct.
So you think Sam Mendes is going to win.
Sam Mendes won the Golden Globe. He won the Critics' Choice. He just won the Directors Guild, which almost always syncs up the DGA award with the Oscars.
As long as the nominees are the same, but the nominees weren't the same at the DGA as they are for the Oscars.
How did it differ?
I don't know.
Okay. Well, so I think that... I think that not only will 1917 win Best Picture, but I think its director, Sam Mendes, will win Best Director. I would give it to Sam Mendes because the technical innovations in this are just, I mean, it looks like, you know, it was shot in like two continuous takes, which it wasn't. There was hundreds and hundreds
of. But that's not directing. Things. That's a tech award. Those are tech awards.
Well, Roger Deakins, who did the cinematography, is a slam dunk winner to win in that particular category for 1917.
Okay. Congratulations. But you're right about that.
I think that 1917.
We're going to get to screenplay in a second, and you know that's the best indicator.
Well, what do you think?
Gonna...
Who do you think is going to win Best Director? You said it's a split year. Who do you think is winning?
I think that we were shown exactly what was going to happen last year when Coruscant won for Roma, but didn't win Best Picture. That's how they split it up. And I think this year, what I just said.
Yes.
They really, really, really like Parasite. They're not going to give it Best Picture. So they're going to give. They're going to hit the ball.
No, it's going to get Best International Film. And Bong Joon-ho will be able to stand up there and make his acceptance speech on that. I don't think the consolation prize is giving him Best Director. I think they give him the Oscar for Best International Film.
Sam Mendes didn't get one single actor nomination a Best Director. Bong Joon got Best Ensemble Cast at the SAGs, and that's a huge indicator of what's going to happen direction-wise. That's all I'm saying.
What do you think, Brigoli?
I don't know.
I'd be thrilled, by the way, if Quentin Tarantino won.
He'll win for we'll get to that. He'll win for screenplay. I tipped it up, but we'll talk about that in a second. Uh-oh. Who's winning Best Director? Go ahead. Who do you want? Who do you like?
I like Sam Mendes, or I actually think Sam or Quentin.
Sam or Quentin. Todd Phillips, no shot, right?
Nope.
And
Marty's won.
Yeah, Marty's done. That movie just kind of fizzled out. That was another like front running movie.
Everyone
on
calls
your
it a masterpiece.
That you write for Gold Derby. Gold Derby. If you looked at it a couple of months ago, Irishman.
The pat on the back that I'm about to give myself, but I am enjoying it. I was the first critic in the country that stood up and said The Irishman is way too long.
I don't think it sucks.
And it's way overrated. No, I didn't say it sucked. I said it's too long and it's overrated. And
I think it's
slowly but surely everybody came to Team McCuddy.
Well, what happened to Team McCuddy is all the critics said it was like the greatest thing since Gone with the Wind.
But yeah, you're right.
And then it came on Netflix and people watched it. And then you start talking to people and they go, did you see civilians, people that don't do this for a living. Did you see The Irishman? Yeah, they go, what do you think of that? I go, what do you think? And they go, I don't know. I had to watch it in three installments. And
I said last year about Roma that if Netflix released.
Oh, nobody even went. The average person
you wouldn't
get
10 minutes
exactly.
In. Right. And they know.
Couldn't agree with you more.
That's one of the things Netflix knows. They know exactly how long they retain an audience for each thing.
Yeah.
They will never tell you how many people bailed on
and
Irishman.
How many people you think with The Irishman are saying, like, yeah, I got through an hour and a half and
everybody
I'm like.
Everybody I talk to says that.
Yeah,
it used to be.
Not
Netflix
voters.
Counted a movie as being watched if you watch 70% of it. But as of a couple of weeks ago, they changed it to 2 minutes.
2 minutes?
2 minutes.
Is that true?
Yeah, because
really?
their idea is you watch 2 minutes of it, it means you didn't pick it by mistake.
That's bullshit. I mean, not bullshit what you're saying. I'm saying that's a bullshit excuse.
Well, it's now 2 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right, well, I'm going with Sam Mendes, and that could be our bet also, McCuddy.
Yeah, you can have Mendes. I'll take the field. I think that's a wide open race.
We'll talk about it. I still like your
wide
bet.
Open.
But, okay. All right, so I'm going with Sam Mendes. You're going with Bong Junho Macuddy.
That's a, why do you guys think that's not going to happen?
Oh, it's very possible.
It happened last year.
Much could happen.
And, how could it not happen again?
Yeah.
Because I told you, because I think he's going to get international film.
But so did Kurosan last year.
I think Sam Mendes is going to win. And who do you think is going to win? What's your choice of who's going to win?
I don't know. All I'm hearing about is Sam Mendes right
all
now.
All right, so Sam Mendes. All right, my big basis is the DGA thing, but okay. All right.
But the best indicator.
All right, live action short. Come on.
No, wait. No, nobody gives a shit about that. The best indicator
best sound
of
sound editing.
The best. No, you said we were going to do screenplays.
No,
the
I was
best.
Kidding.
The best indicator is screenplay and editing. Screenplay
okay,
and editing.
Okay, so original screenplay. Go ahead. Original screenplay, Knives Out, Marriage Story, 1917, Once Upon a Time in America, and Parasite.
It's so obviously Knives Out.
No way. That's Quentin Tarantino. That's Quentin Tarantino. I know. That's Quentin Tarantino's consolation prize for not winning Best Picture.
Well, I'll tell you quite honestly that what they think at Gold Derby is that Parasite yeah. is going to
well,
win.
Well, I can see that. You know, I could see that.
It's very original.
You know something? I'm gonna switch it. You're right. It's Parasite's going to win.
Well, then 1917 doesn't have as good a shot then, does it? Because 1917's mm-hmm. in that same original yeah. screenplay.
I think you're right. I think Gold Derby's right. I think Parasite wins screenplay. It is
yeah,
very...
Me too.
It's you can't... If you could say anything about Parasite, it's original. Original screenplay.
Yeah, but so is...
There's a couple of turns in that movie that I said, I just... There's no way anybody saw this coming.
How can you not think Once Upon a Time in Hollywood isn't original?
Well, I my logic when I first said Tarantino was because I think that's his consolation prize. And if you look at adapted screenplay, which is The Irishman, Jojo Rabbit, Joker, Little Women, and The Two Popes, the Oscars so male, and everybody is very upset that Greta Gerwig didn't get a Best Director nomination, and Bill Bregoli is looking off into space as if something is wrong.
No.
Are we still recording this?
No, we're fine.
Okay. You think you saw a mouse in my apartment?
I'm kidding you. No, I was looking at the flashing lights in your...
Oh, that's my what do you call that thing? It's not server. What do you call that?
Pacemaker?
No, it's for the internet. What do you call it? The
router.
Router, thank you. Yeah, that's the word I was looking for.
Nice.
Yeah, so I think that Greta Gerwig is a slam dunk to win Best Adapted Screenplay. Not only, first of all, it is a great adaptation, but she was snubbed for not getting a Best Director nomination, and this is the Academy's way. Well, you know, okay, we'll give her, and not that it's not deserved, but she's a slam dunk.
I think
to
it's
win
the best
screenplay.
Adaptation that's ever been done of, and especially
really?
Since
I
that
think the
source
Godfather,
material.
I think the Godfather was the best.
That
adaptation
source material
ever done.
Has been mined so many different times, and I think this is the absolute best time that's been done, and I think it really, really. I mean,
I think the best.
But I will warn you that some of the voters who I've talked to were a little confused. First of all, they tell me it wasn't because she was a woman that she wasn't nominated. It was because of the way that film was edited that she
yeah,
wasn't
the
nominated.
Yeah, the time shifts
huh?
are
the
difficult.
Time,
the time shifts are very difficult
oh,
to
right.
follow.
So they, so
the younger sister's dead. Now she's alive.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
The problem with time shifting over, what is it, a 3-year period, is that everybody's still kind of the same age. And when you jump around like that,
yeah.
you're. It, but I found it. Brilliant. I didn't think it was confusing
yeah,
at all.
The only way I followed the time shift was to check out the length of Saoirse Ronan's hair.
But also,
because
since they've
changed.
Made
yeah.
countless versions of this, don't most people,
no,
aren't most
what
people familiar
it,
enough with this story that the time shifts
oh, I see. Yeah,
aren't
yeah.
that?
Right.
Like, we all know, you know, what happens, so the time shifts didn't the time
I think
shifts
it's great.
Didn't really
I
bother
think it's going to win. It's my hope it does. I have heard...
Greta Gerwig wins for Best Adapted.
I have
heard...
That the one thing that they might give The Irishman, and they love Steven Zaillian,
no way.
Is
no
that
way.
Could
Netflix
possibly...
bias. Tell me, Bill Bregoli,
yeah.
who's winning Best Adapted Screenplay? Greta Gerwig?
Probably.
And so you think Greta Gerwig?
Of course.
Okay.
I'd morally be happy with Jojo Rabbit.
Right. And original?
Yeah, I'd like that too.
Well, Jojo Rabbit's terrific. It's on my top five.
You know,
I mean, it's a great movie.
And original, we said Parasite.
And Parasite.
Going,
right. Okay,
going back
I'll go to Parasite. Originally, I was going to say Once Upon a Time, but I'll move it to Parasite.
Okay.
What do you think, Bregoli, Parasite?
For what? Original?
Original, yeah.
Yeah, Parasite.
And you're with Parasite too. And you'd pick...
I would love for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood
yeah.
to win.
Right, okay. And editing. You said everything is about editing, Bill. All right, so editing is Ford versus Ferrari, which is great editing, by the way.
Yeah.
Really great, great
that
editing.
That was in my top 10. It was not in your top 10, was
no,
it?
No, but for editing, I mean...
Yeah.
You know, and
yeah.
sound. I mean, it's probably not... Really,
it...
Sound is phenomenal in that.
Yeah,
The Irishman for editing. Jojo Rabbit, nah, not for editing. Joker...
See, this is Parasite, and this is what I'm telling you.
I don't
this
think
is
it's
why
a
you're
great
listening.
Editing job. I think for editing, I think I'm going strictly on editing. I think Ford versus Ferrari, it's not going to win. If I have to pick something, I mean, if you want to talk strictly editing accomplishments, I think the sound on Ford versus
Ferrari. I think you're thinking of like action sequences put together intelligently. And what I think editing is really about is the one that tells the story most effectively and best. And I think for that reason, Parasite's probably, I think, on Gold Derby, the leader right now. But again, they love Thelma, who did The Irishman. And
no
so
way.
It's very possible
that
gets thrown a bone there.
Okay.
It's so long. It's a harder thing to edit because this is
almost as long as this podcast.
Well, sound
so I guess we'll know when we tune in on February 9th what the big winner is.
I will just say that there's two sound categories. There's sound editing and there's sound mixing.
Yeah.
And Ford versus Ferrari is nominated in both of those categories. And I wonder if it will win in either of those categories.
I wonder that too. Why don't you take both of those and I'll get the field and you have to win in both categories.
You know, I will say this. There was a documentary called Making Waves.
Yes, I know.
And I don't know if we talked about it on a podcast, but it just shows you.
I can't imagine there's something we haven't talked about on this podcast.
How much effort goes into sound.
Yeah.
And most audience members don't really even consciously pay attention to it, but it's just.
Actually, the sound design, and this is not a nominated film this year, but the film I talked about earlier, The Assistant, the sound mixing in that is, you know right away it's New York. There are New York sounds in there.
Oh, really?
Like
really?
The subway trains, the way they go clickety-clack over the tracks and stuff, you go, this is New York.
You know, when you go to buy a big screen television, the first thing they tell you is, as great as this picture is, if you don't get surround sound or don't get a sound bar or something, you're really missing out because the whole experience is about the sound. And that's so true. I've been to people's houses and they still have a 42-inch plasma, like an old school, like the very first big screens that came out. But they've got the THX thing that goes around and it's like, it just stuns you how important sound is.
Can we do one more category?
We could. Look at the time.
I just wanted to do production design.
Yeah, everybody does.
No,
all right, so what are we doing next week?
All right, well, I guess we won't.
Well, next week.
Well, just say what you think production design is going to win. I don't want to hear all five.
I wanted to have a discussion.
Oh, okay.
Well, there was some very fine production design this year.
Well, no,
there really was.
I mean, no.
Everyone's pool usually hinges on that particular
category.
Once upon a time, they turned L.A. into like 1969.
Oh, I'll tell you what I'll say we should spend another 60 seconds doing, because it's great. And we had a fun time with it on the show, and you've forgotten. Let's talk about the snubs.
I was going to say watch the show for the snubs.
Okay. Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
that's
good.
Because
we
right.
just have snubs in.
Very well.
That's what I was going to say.
Nicely done.
Watch our show. And production design.
Okay. Back to that.
I'm going to go with 1917. I think it's going to sweep the technical. I think it's going to be a sweep.
Okay, well, that I give you. Although I'd rather it was Once Upon a Time.
Yeah, I think it just sweeps technical categories.
Just
what do we got next
Qualley's
week?
Jeans.
What do we have next week, Bergoli?
Next week we have Birds of Prey.
Oh, Jesus, that looks terrible.
Yeah.
And I was so looking forward to that. I mean, Margot Robbie as the girlfriend was the best thing in that movie.
Yeah, Suicide Squad.
And Suicide Squad. And now, have you both seen
the trailer? It's just trying to be bizarre.
That's what it looks
what's
like
What's the character's name? It's
Haley, what's her name? Haley Baldwin?
No. Yes, it's Haley Baldwin. Yeah. No, it's a weird
name. Showing how old
yeah,
we
Haley
are
Yeah,
it's
Haley something. Yeah, so look.
Something that
we're
going to
see that, so I guess we'll
Harley,
talk about that.
Harley
look
Quinn.
It up. It's Harley Quinn.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm Harley Quinn, and I was in the. I'm not dating the Joker anymore. It just looks. It looks. Look, I've seen terrible trailers with great movies, and great trailers with terrible movies.
And we watch the terrible trailers, so you don't.
That's
to.
We do.
Right.
And we'll talk about lots.
I'm
of stuff.
I'm at Bill McCuddy on Twitter. Please hit me up as you have been. I appreciate your input.
Thanks. I'm at Neil Rosenapples on Twitter,
and I'm on Instagram, and I got like one or two more people following me.
Really?
I'm up
you
to
got
four
it,
now.
Bill Bergoli.
Yeah.
Wow. And all right.
It can't be because of this podcast.
Hey, we've got.
I don't know this woman's name.
We've got a question. Just pause for 1 second. We have a question for you, Bill. We have somebody. Can you pause? I really.
No, I can't pause it.
Wow.
There's no pause.
All right,
thanks
for
sitting around
listening.
Talking movies with us. We'll sit around talking with you movies next week.